correct in that's why they're going to be reviewed now by administration to make sure that the referral is something that is appropriate?
Yeah, I mean, I...
A lot of times, it's not a referral the other day, because she called and her phone handed, they walked to the bathroom, not involved.
Well, I think instead of you fighting for these parents, they need to come here and talk with us and show me the referral, because I think that somebody who gets a referral for walking and holding a hand, if it's not like public display of affection, then that's ridiculous, right? But I just don't see that. I've seen some of the referrals and I don't see that happening. And I certainly believe that the administration would look at that and say, no, we're not doing that. You know, I mean, when I was a principal, I had a teacher who gave a referral every day for a child who didn't bring a pencil. And my solution was, come to my office first and I'll give you a pencil every day. You can combat some of these things with proper communication. It's a matter of the parents that are frustrated with whatever referral the child got to reach out to the teacher and talk to them about it. We can't solve it all at this level. You can't as a board. You can't control the employees' differences in how they believe their particular group should do things. And if you take away, if anybody takes away the ability for us to hold children accountable, then you're gonna have nothing but mayhem happening at the school sites. That's just the way it's gonna be. We already see it now where parents don't hold their kids accountable. And so therefore the kid thinks that they don't have to be held accountable in the classroom. And we can't go down that road. This is a fair system. It's worked for years. It predates all of us. The merit system has been here for years. There are not any other districts that I can find that even do merit trips. They've gone away from them because they're so expensive. In fact, we're looking at potentially having to move all of our merit activities within the site. You know, a movie day or something like that, because you just, I think that John's Pizza is like $5,000 a grade level now, so 15 grand to send them. You can't do it. So this is really, and I do think that at that meeting, one of the other moms that was here made a very good point in that, you know, if my child gets a referral for hitting somebody, and your child gets a referral. I can't remember exactly how, Robin?
That was me.
Oh, it was you, okay.
Because it was my parent that was sitting here, that was sitting on that end whose child had been bullied and had been consistently made fun of. She has withdrawn that child from this district and sent her to Marysville Charter Academy. And so she, you know, that child that bullied her daughter got the referral, and if he was able to earn that back, then
and I have a hard, I mean, I totally respect and understand that, and I believe there's zero tolerance for bullying. And when I think about I have a sixth grader going in first week of school, they make an oops, and they can earn it, you know, earn back, and they get that one chance, you know, because I don't think that one mistake, you know, in all of our expulsion hearings, we always say, don't let this define you. You can rise above, you know, I just, sometimes I think that there's, you know, I don't know, having a shot to, again, it would have to be the administration looking at it and saying, okay, you know, is this something that, you know, is an offense that they could not earn that back, or is this your one, you know, I mean, of course.
And honestly, to be honest with you, I don't know if any teacher myself included, I can count on one hand who's tenured on the referral side of it. So I don't know or how many kids that have actually been removed that I have removed from my classroom. And I don't think there are any of us there that willy-nilly write referrals. And you know, the first month of school, everything is kind of, let's reteach, let's relearn, let's, you know, so they can, they do have the opportunity. They can go on the next merit trip or the merit trip after that. And it's usually, instead of thinking of it as, you know, they're going to not have anything to look forward to that trimester, they usually start
Well, and we had that one student that you said has never been on one and was days away and was so excited. So, yeah, you know.
He did make it.
Yay.
He was the one that had 11 referrals last year.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't go to school very often. And he made it to the first merit trip. Fortunately, he's not making it on the second one, but he's already said, I'm going to be at my stop. So it's not like I lost him for the rest of the trimester. He was just like, I'm going to be there, screw up. And
good.
Well, we do.
Okay. If there's no other questions or comments. Sorry, Robin.
I really have a question. It's probably not going to be the most popular question. So I'm assuming yellow jeans are what we're voting to vote with or against?
Mm-hmm.
No. No, we're voting. They're voting on whether to adopt the entire handbook or not.
Okay.
Not just the old.
The yellow is the new changes that are changing this year.
So I can tell you, as I'm going to put myself out, as a teacher and as a mom, age 11, your head coverings, hoodies must be removed indoors, but a child can wear a hat or a hoodie if it's not impeding with others or distracting or impeding the learning.
I thought they had to come off inside.
In my classroom,
And what I'll answer to that question is that in Robin's class, then the rule is take your hat off when you come in. But there are other teachers that don't mind having a child with a baseball hat on or also wear a baseball hat themselves. And there's nothing about wearing the hat that has become, it used to be no hats at all. When I first got here, you could not have a hat. And we've morphed into letting kids wear hats all the time. And so having a baseball hat on in a classroom, I think it's up to the individual teacher to decide whether or not they want to wear a hat or let the kids wear the hat or not. Kids will adapt. They know in Miss Richardson's class, my hat comes off. But in Miss Sarah's class, I know different grade level, but the hat can stay on. But you're not in charge of the classroom.
I understand that, but I'm stuck on stickler for hats not on in the classroom, in the building, period. But I'm in the military, and it's drilled in.
But so again, this isn't about individual people's choices, right? This is really about what are we doing to encourage our children to behave appropriately and to do what they're supposed to do in the classroom. I'll use Peggy as an example. Just because she doesn't like wearing a baseball hat or a cap in a classroom doesn't mean that Peter doesn't. He might be fine with it. Why is it that we're going to make this rule specifically about? That's why I think it's the individual teacher's responsibility to say, in my classroom, I don't want you wearing your hat. I don't care what you do in math or English or in my classroom, you're not wearing the hat. If Peggy walks in, she's got to zip her mouth, right? Whether she likes it or not, she doesn't get to choose that because that's Robin's responsibility to decide whether or not the child can wear the hat or not.
But this is the first year that it's in the handbook, and when I brought it to the attention of my admin and I asked why it was that they weren't allowed to wear hats now, what changed, I was told it was inadvertently left out of the handbook and it wasn't caught. And the only reason that we were addressing it was because the parent allowed their child to wear a hat and comb through the handbook and said, well, wait, it's not in here. It just says hoodies. And so I brought it up and I was like, why are we changing this? And prior to this current school year, cats were not allowed.
In the classroom?
In anybody's classroom.
I can guarantee you that that's not true. I've walked into plenty of classrooms where children are wearing hats. So it might have been enforced in some classrooms, but not in others.
And that's possible, but I'm telling you not at Ann River.
So basically, like the way it says hoodies must be removed indoors, you're saying hats and hoodies should...
It used to say hoods and hats. Hoodie is the actual sweatshirt, mm-hmm. So they're going to not take off. It used to say hats and hoods because it's a sign of respect, and that's what we teach them, is that that's what that American flag is for.
The American...
Civic leadership. It, I mean, it is. Mm-hmm. It's, I mean, you could ask for them. I mean, that you don't have a hat on, and inside a building is your no hat, a little right, and you want to be outside.
Because the roof is your hat.
Correct. So we lose a lot of our freedom, so I'm forced to put my hat on when I leave the building and when I'm in uniform. It all depends on what the school district wants to enforce. If you want to enforce respect for symbols such as the flag, then maybe head coverings that are not religious or cultural in nature should be removed. But forcing someone to do it, that's the choice that the school district should make on...
No.
No.
I thought about it, you know, I didn't do my hair. No, it is about...
I think it should be individual teachers. Mm-hmm. I think it should be per teacher, like whatever they want.
Yeah. So I have a question for you. When you go out to dinner and you're not in uniform and you have a hat on, when you walk into that restaurant, do you take your hat off just because it becomes a second nature to you?
So that is second nature to me.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
When I'm wearing the regular clothes.
But would you
clothes,
like to have left it on?
If I have a winter hat on or a baseball hat, I take it off going in a restaurant. That's just...
Because that's what
part of that is just 20 years in the military. Yeah. That's the habit. Culture changes, context changes. I see an option that there's, you can allow hat wearing, but when it's time to pledge allegiance, your hat should come off. And I will say I've seen plenty of things, like you go see like a parade going by and the flag's going, the flag is leading the parade. You'll see veterans standing up and,
mm-hmm.
But then you'll see others just sitting down. So
I think it's like people
as much,
during the Star Spangled Banner that mm-hmm. people stop and are quiet or that you
off.
Have people that
so
continue to talk. And
first, in my opinion, the key is teaching that civic duty to respect the symbol of the flag. How you choose to enforce that, I mean, that's the district's choice on how that
gets enforced. I don't understand how enforcing the symbol of the flag and the hat being on is a conflict. So, again, it's different people's beliefs and how they were brought up.
And then we go into what teachers want to have flags and which ones aren't.
I think it depends on the situation if you
like
take your hat off. I see plenty of places
off.
Where
ever.
People are wearing hats when they're out to dinner.
Like dinner, but if we're at the bar, or
you know, all kinds
auction,
of.
He ain't taking the chip off. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. What's that? That's not a Texas thing. That's a family thing, right? It's what the family chooses to do in their household. It's not everybody in Texas takes their hat off when they enter a room. There's no way that's true. If you're trying to teach children to be respectful of the flag, I like what you said. Take your hat off when you go on the flag. If you have a person in the classroom that just doesn't want hats in there, then that's their right to say take them off. But I also think that there are plenty of times where the teacher doesn't care, it doesn't bother them, and some of the teachers are wearing hats. So it's a matter of the freedom for a child to choose to wear the hat. The reason we don't like the hoodies is two reasons. One is they completely cover the child's face, and two, it's well known now that kids vape with hoodies on. They run it right through the string of the hoodie, and then they vape and they just blow it down into their hoodie, and it's happening all over the place. So the hoodie makes sense to me that it comes off, but it's your decision. But I will argue that that the hat is not a problem.
Just for clarification, I pulled up the current handbook that is approved and on the website, and it says hats and or other types of sun protective coverings may be worn if appropriate and do not cause a disruption to school activities. Hoods are to be removed indoors. So
it wasn't.
That was this year, and that's my question, and then like what happened between last year and this year's, because we did have a parent. And if you're going to leave it up to teachers, then you need to give teachers that latitude where we don't have a parent say, well, why is it allowed in this classroom and not in that classroom?
I mean, it's the same thing as why does my child get an extra day to do their homework in this classroom, but in this one they don't, right? There's rules that are specific, yeah. So there's rules that are specific, and I think the teacher can address that with their students, and they can come to an understanding that when you walk into my classroom, the hat comes off.
I agree.
So.
Be a teacher preference?
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know, the first day of school, the teacher lays out the rules and the laws of their classroom, and they're not all being exactly the same, although, you know, we have a district policy. Every classroom has their own special certainties and rules and little niches that the teachers don't like or will allow or won't allow. You know, I guess hats or things like that would go under that same ruling if they mm-hmm. choose to tell them no, you can't, or you can, or you know, you can until you sit down, and then it's got to come off. I remember working in the cafeteria at Bear River School for morning cafeteria duty, and the cafeteria worker had a hat on her head, and she'd walk over and she'd tell those kids before they even sat down with their tray, get that hat off your head.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, that's kind of a oxymoron, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
I can wear mine, but you can't wear yours.
Exactly.
So. You know, the kids have to figure out what's available, what's correct, and what's not by where they're at, I guess. Okay, so.
Yeah, so it's in their contract that they signed, but it also has a bullet in here that says student will maintain a positive and respectful attitude towards adults and students. And but on the form that they sign, it says that that we can revoke it for attendance, behavior, and grades. And I will tell you, we absolutely have revoked for behavior. In fact, we revoked one today for behavior. So it's not like, oh, I got a referral, you're going to get kicked out. It's significant things
right.
that we're talking
right.
about.
Significant stuff. Yeah,
yeah,
that's all I was asking. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions, comments? Okay, I'll get back to my voice here.
Just to confirm, we can't approve it because we need to make changes to...
No, you can approve it with the understanding, and I will separate that paragraph that Robin was talking about.
Oh my goodness, I've been on there so long, it won't come back. Okay, here we go. Okay, if there's no other questions, comments, or concerns, can I have a motion to accept the parent handbook, please, 5.1.
I make a motion to approve the parent handbook with the caveat that the two paragraphs will be separated.
Okay, and a second?
Second.
Is there a second?
Oh, I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
Is that two ayes?
So you have to vote.
Two nays, yeah.
Two ayes and two nays, and you have to vote.
Do I have to vote? I vote to approve. So motion carries. 5.2, approve non-release of probationary and temporary certificated employees.
So this is the time of year that we bring to you the list of people that we will either release, non-reelect. It doesn't necessarily mean they won't be back next year, but we have to create the list before March 15th and deliver it to them before March 15th, and there's not enough time between the March meeting and March 15th. And so you have the list. Most of them on the list are, well, I shouldn't say most of them. Let me pull the list. Temporary, they're typically released without approval, but we bring them forward anyways. And then probationary is typically, we might have some concerns about the individual, or we're creating a space for lack of enrollment or something like that. But there's five on here, as you know. So I cannot answer questions about the individuals, but I can answer questions about anything else having to do with it.
Any questions? Can I have a motion then?
I move to approve 5.2.
And a second?
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 5.3, approve awards of E-rate projects for 23-24.
So I'll let Chad speak to this, but basically every year we get what's known as E-rate money to put towards technology items. And so he, along with our E-rate company that we work with, they come up with what we can apply for and how much it is. And so Chad, do you want to say what you're doing with that?
Yeah, so we're going out for battery backups for our servers and our switches, just in case there's a power outage. We stay up for a period of time and try to keep the equipment up, try to keep it intact, so that it doesn't get damaged and hopefully stays up while power's out and we come back up, or we can, you know, gradually bring everything down. It's just kind of what we have in place, and they're all need to be replaced now if they're getting old. So typically they're bigger item things that we do on the E-rate side, but I'm going to wait till next year to apply for that, because next year there's more technology. The Wi-Fi 6 is going to be more capable, and these other things that are coming out. So we have 3 cycles of funding, and next year will be the last of the cycle. So when we use it, we're going to get another set of funding the year after that. So I'm kind of pushing that out.
And it's a 80-20 match, is that what it is?
70. So
70-30.
So for what it is basically E-rate funding is based off of our free and reduced numbers. So free and reduced numbers really do give us a lot of things, you know, and something that you might not be aware of is in terms of technology. It actually pays for our Comcast, for our network, for our internet that goes out. So the more we get, the more forms we get back that they fill out, that our numbers go up, the more discount we get on our internet. And also that's category one. Category two is for cabling and switches and APs, which you see up here. All the network infrastructure we can apply to, and the UPSs. If there's any questions, I can answer.
Any questions?
No.
Can I ask for a motion then for 5.3, please?
So move for 5.3.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? 5.3 carries. 5.4, LCFF budget overview.
So 5.4 and 5.5 are mid-year checks. They're information only. There's no requirement for you to approve or not approve. It's the mid-year checks on where we are with the LCAP and where we are financially with LCFF. So you have those reports in front of you, and they will be posted on the website as well. They're already on there in the board agenda, but we'll post them in a different area. And then if you look at the LCAP one, because I'm going to do both of them together, if that's okay. The LCAP one, you look at what you're looking at is year two, mid-year progress. That's where we've had to go in and put everything, and then all the numbers down below. We're typically at this point spending about half of what we've earmarked. There's some places where we've spent it all already and some that we've spent a lot less. But this is your information, and we'll put it on so that parents can see it as well on the website. Happy to answer any questions. Otherwise, there's no motion needed.
Moving on to 5.6, resolution of energy efficiency loan.
So I talked to you a little, our last meeting, about solar, and this is giving approval for us to apply for the energy loan, which is at 0% interest. It does not mean we have to take it. It's a matter of us applying for it. If we get approved and then we get the project, and then that all comes back to you to get approved again, prior to ever taking out a loan if we wanted to, or doing the project itself. So it would be for solar at Wheatland-El and lighting at all three schools, although Lone Tree does not qualify, can't use this loan for Lone Tree because there's not enough savings in the energy, because we don't pay a lot of money to have energy. We pay a lot of water money, but not energy money. In town with PG&E, there's a huge savings. So if we do it, we would probably end up either not doing the lighting at Lone Tree or having to pay for that itself out of pocket. So this is just gives approval for me to sign that we're gonna, we have no idea if we'll get it, but we have to have approval for me to be able to try to get it.
It's 3 million?
Up to 3 million, yeah. But again, if we decide if the project's only 1 million, you're not taking all 3 million. And if the project is 1 million and you want to put 500,000 of cash into it and 500,000 in the loan, you have that. It's just, we're not getting hooked into having to take 3 million. But.
Good. Any questions?
Well, we typically wouldn't. We typically wouldn't, but in the past we've had board members that just don't want to take out loans, and if you have money that you can only use on facilities or whatever, then they earmark that. So, but this is the first time in my knowledge in 10 years that it's been a 0% loan. So,
any questions? Can I have a motion, please? Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. 8.6. Board comments. Any board comments?
Nope.
Okay. On to closed session.